your throne surround. Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe and crown. For the weather there is always fair, there's sunshine day and you know no cold nor rain will fall them. And for the sun shines ever bright, and I'll need no heavy garment. I'll just wrap my robe around, and when I, yeah, I want a robe, well, I want my brand new mansion, Lord, and my robe and my, 'cause in glory there you know that peace and love will always and forever let me be your throne surround. And Lord, please reserve a mansion robe and crown. Well, my head is bowed and bloody now from the work that I tried to, but one day, Lord, I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. Well, I'll wear a smile so bright, there'll be no cause for a frown. And when I, well, I want a robe and, well, I want my brand new mansion, Lord, and my robe and my, 'cause in glory there you know that peace and love will always and forever let me be your throne surround. And Lord, please reserve a mansion robe and crown.
Man, Luke chapter 2. Verses 16 and 17. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say good morning to you. It's very, very beautiful morning. Very beautiful day on yesterday. I know some folks like cold, but I'm not the cold man, but thank God for this day, amen. Thank God that every day is different. And I want to see whether you're a member of this Franklin family, or whether you're a visitor or a virtual guest. I'm grateful that you are here today and grateful that God has allowed us yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us to be the saints of God. It's gonna be Romans chapter 14. Charlotte, I want my Bible to the book of Romans chapter 14, and my invitation is for you to join me there as these verses will serve as the context for today's lesson. What about Christmas? What about Christmas? Romans chapter 14. You know, I'm gonna take us back a few minutes before we get into the context of this lesson. I wanna say that when it comes to Thanksgiving, everybody wraps their arms around Thanksgiving in the church and out of the church. We celebrate it, we love it. But I want you to know that Native Americans had been on this land for centuries before. And the story from their perspective is far different from the story that you learn in school. When Europeans began coming to what is known as the United States about 4 years before the Mayflower arrived, they carried foreign illnesses, they brought sicknesses over here, which killed the native people, and at exceedingly high rates, it made it easier for the colonizers to do what? To take their land. It's also the fact that the settlers came to the land, they kidnapped some Native Americans and they sold them into slavery as well. But we love Thanksgiving, don't we? In the church and out the church, we celebrate it even in the church. These newly settled Europeans also didn't arrive for a feast because they didn't invite the Native Americans, as you see in your history books, to that feast. They didn't. So the chief of the Wampanoag tribe, he declared an alliance with the settlers, and members of the tribe were showing up to honor that mutual defense pact. Talk about Thanksgiving here. We'll talk about Christmas in a minute. They heard the pilgrims shooting their guns in celebration, and they thought they were in combat, and after some talk, They decided to spend 3 days together and join the feast. But this type of coming together wasn't warm and fuzzy. It wasn't a tradition that you was taught in school. From then on, the pilgrims celebrated Thanksgivings in the traditional way of fasting and praying. And several times this happened because of the massacres of the native people, including in 1637, when the massacres of the native people, John Winthrop, the governor, declared a day of Thanksgiving after volunteers murdered 700 Pico people. We love Thanksgiving. Listen, I gotta tell you, a lot of people do a lot of things and they don't know the reason why they do it. Amen? This incident is often cited as the first official mention of a Thanksgiving ceremony. And that's how Thanksgiving has been come to known today, but that's not the way the native people look at Thanksgiving. Sometimes we gotta look at how we look at things, because it may be different perspective from what the truth actually is and what we think we're celebrating. In the church, out the church. How about the New Year's baby? How about that? Celebration of New Year's Day often start on the day before New Year's Eve and December 31st. Many people host elaborate parties on New Year's Eve and they celebrate with family and friends over dinner for New Year's Day. And many black churches, they hold watch night services on New Year's Eve from 10 to midnight. Why do they do that? They did that in recognition of enslaved people in 1862 who were watching and waiting for the Emancipation Proclamation to be declared on 1 January 1863. At the end of the year, the church is going to come together and say, oh, we're having a New Year's celebration. They all come out there and we're going to be here till midnight. Do you know why? So what about Christmas? What about Christmas? Although the actual day and year of Jesus' birth are not recorded in the Bible, it's December 25th. It was officially observed in Rome in AD 336 during the reign of Emperor Constantine. It was likely chosen to coincide with the Roman winter solstice and even the pagan festivals that were going on. In the United States, Christmas is both a secular and a religious holiday, and it is the most celebrated holiday in the country, in the church and out of the church. What I'm getting at this morning is you gotta know what you believe. You can't let your conscience be violated by what you believe, and you can't violate anybody else's conscience by what you believe. Think about it. Of all the holidays throughout the year, people find themselves tipping their hat to God. They tip their hats to God. And that's a wonderful thing. I would say anytime anybody has to tip their hat to God, it is a wonderful thing because God is being glorified, right? Of all the holidays throughout the year, this is the one where Jesus simply must be dealt with in one way or the other. You got to deal with it. Because the very name Christmas puts the name of Christ right in front of everyone's face. Radio stations, Silent Night, White Christmas, Santa Claus comes straight to the ghetto. Radio stations play carols all the time and tell of his birth and his mission to save man from sin. You find shopping malls filled with references to Christmas and Christ and the nativity scenes. And conversely, unbelievers, they fight relentlessly to remove those things from public life. Some stores even train their employees not to say Merry Christmas, but to say Happy Holidays unless they offend a Jew, a Muslim, or an atheist. And even in schools, some ban religious Christmas songs from the holiday concerts. Some say there is a war on Christmas and it's been in full swing for a very long time. And right here, when everybody's mind is on Christ, the crux of what we call Christmas, is a golden opportunity for us to do something positive with the mission of Christ. Throughout the year, let me tell you, throughout the whole year, Jesus is ignored. But at the end of the year, everybody's got to deal with Jesus. And they don't all handle it the same way. At Christmas, there's a worldwide joy that's uncompared. But there's also a worldwide dilemma that's uncompared as well. You know, sometimes we find ourselves being impelled by what we believe or what we think we believe or what somebody has told us that we ought to believe. And we force those things on other people, much to their chagrin. And we find ourselves battling folks for what we want them to believe and what we want them to do and not what we want to do ourselves. What about Christmas? For some Christians, Christmas is just a dilemma. They're not sure what to do with it. They're not. Some don't feel comfortable celebrating Christ's birthday as a religious holiday because nobody really knows when Christ was born, and we don't read in the Bible of the church ever observing the day. Anybody ever read of the church observing Thanksgiving? All right, okay then. Others don't feel comfortable making it a secular holiday because they've not been told that much of it has pagan origins, and they also don't want to be looked upon as though they don't believe in Christ. Whatever your reason might be, it's a dilemma. It's a dilemma. And some people look upon others as a Scrooge, as the story goes, and when they look at people like that, then they've lost their influence for Christ as well. Some people might think this is silly. Some people might think this is unimportant, but I need you to have the knowledge of what you believe in and why you believe it. Have the knowledge of what you do and why you do it, because so many of us do things and we don't even know why we do it. Some people are part of the Masons, don't even know why or what the Masons even represent. Some people are part of the Salvation Army, don't even know that the Salvation Army is a denominational religion. Christians ought to know what they do and why they do it. And it's always important that we consult a God about everything that we do. In Paul's discussion of the observance of days in Romans 14, verses 5 and 23, here's what he says. Let each one of you be fully convinced in his own mind, not convincing me about what you think. You be fully convinced in your own mind, because he who doubts is condemned, for whatsoever is not of faith is a, you see it? It's a sin. So I want to consider three questions that will help us with this dilemma at Christmas time. The first question is, concerning Christmas, what is it that is condemned? Because Paul's concern in Romans 14 is that we do not judge each other in the matter of observing days as long as it's also observed to the Lord. Of course, any observance of days of some so-called idol God besides Yahweh would be condemned. Any other kind of false worship besides worshiping Yahweh would be condemned, right? Let me tell you something. There are many forms of paganism still practiced in our day around the world, and Christians must not have any fellowship with such a thing. This is why many have a problem with some of the symbols of Christmas. And even the time of the year that Christmas is celebrated, they have a problem with it because it was originally associated with paganism. The key word here is that it was originally associated with paganism. Let me just sidestep this for you for a second. We talk about people in the church believing in certain things and practicing certain things. But we push tradition that we have ourselves upon people and we expect them to do it, or we don't want nothing to do with them. For years upon years upon years upon years, people have said, in order for you to serve in a communion table, you with me? You gotta have a necktie on. If you don't have a necktie on, you better not come up here. Well, who made that rule? Well, you find that out in the scripture. And every church of Christ for years and years and years believed that, and some people even left the church because they've pushed it on them. Good morning. Show it to me in the scripture. I want you to know what you believe, and I want you to do what you think you believe is right. Let's do the right thing. Because one day I'm going to get up here, I ain't going to have no necktie on. But I'm still going to preach the gospel. The key word here is it was no longer practice. That's the connotation here. No one I know, no one, no one in here, if you do raise your hand, no one here I know puts up a tree or a stocking on their mantle to worship some idol. It doesn't mean what it once meant anymore. It doesn't mean the same thing, does it? Some things we do in our lives, it used to mean one thing, it doesn't mean that anymore. We don't even consider that anymore. No one I know puts up a tree, a stocking, or a mantle to worship some idol. Christmas has no more to do with pagan gods than Sunday, Monday, and Thursday have to do with gods of the sun or the moon or even the god Thor. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Let me show you something. Verse 27 and 28. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any curtains on your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Oh, boy, we're in some trouble, man. Deuteronomy 14 and verse number 21. You shall not boil a young goat in his mother's milk. Let me tell you, at one time, shaving the side of your head or boiling a goat in his mother's milk was condemned because of association with paganism. What about tattoos? What about that? People condemned tattoos for years in the church. Oh, don't come to church. You're not a Christian. You got a tattoo. Are you out? Let me tell you something. How many Christians would say these things are wrong today since there's no association at all with paganism? I'm going to tell you right now. If you bust in them doors and tell me you want to be baptized because you believe in Christ for the remission of your sins, you want to be baptized, I will baptize you full of tattoos. Some folks won't bother with a tattoo. What? You got the side of your head shaved now? What? Let me tell you something. The old law died with Christ. Colossians 2, it died. What some things used to mean back then doesn't mean the same things today. Am I right? Let's look at the word gay. Let's look at that. Let's go there. Some things that meant something back then doesn't mean the same thing today. I'm happy and gay as I could be. I'm going to stand up and tell you right now, I'm a gay man. And I'm happy all the time. Now you define it how you want to define it, and you deal with it how you want to deal with it. But some things don't mean the same thing that it meant before. Right? And don't send me no texts or Instagram and all that stuff talking about, Brother Kynes, I know you was gay. I don't want none of that. I don't want it. For the same reason, why would we say there's anything wrong with Christmas as it's celebrated today? You got to separate that. Your religious life from your personal life. You got to separate that thing. You got to be able to separate that. All right? Because we are traditionalists here, and we are filled with culture. And that's how we live, and that's what we celebrate. And we don't push it on anybody else. Right? But what about cataclysm and denominationalism associated with Christmas? Many, many forms of false worship to the true God, many forms. And they're practiced by Catholics and many other denominations at Christmas time, as well as any other times of the year. They use instrumental music. They burn incense. They use holy water. They pray to Mary and canonize saints. They do that. We must not implement any of these things into our worship if we want to be pleasing to God. We can't. But all forms of false worship should be avoided at all times, not only at Christmas time, but avoided every time. I just want to say that it's not the celebration of Christ's birth that's wrong. It's the false worship that's wrong. That's what's wrong. Let me tell you what, the prophets prophesied about the birth of Christ. The angels celebrated the birth of Christ. Matthew and Luke recorded the birth of Christ. The church reads, teaches, and preaches about Christ. We sing and we pray about it. About the birth of Christ. We can do the same thing. We can do it at Christmas, Easter, November, whatever you want, whatever day you decide. You can celebrate Christ at any time you want to, not just at Christmas. Because his birth is an important thing, because without his birth, you never get to the death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel. So why do you celebrate? Think about why, and you do that, but don't push it on nobody else, right? They got a whole lot of people, you know, I don't believe in Christmas. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. And then they go to their job, and their job say, I'm going to give you a day off for Christmas. Jesus said, either you're with me all the way or you're not. Right? Leave them alone. Either you're with me or, look. Galatians 4, 8 through 11. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and belly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. You know, in Galatians, we learn that observing days can cause us to lose our souls if they're made a requirement of salvation and they bound upon others. That's what he's telling us there. But those who were free from the requirements of paganism, they were being bound by the law of Moses. But again, Paul makes it clear that Christians are not bound to observe any days that they don't want to, right? So that which is condemned is a threefold condemnation. Judging others for observing those days, that's what we do, right? You can come to my house, you're going to see Christmas all over my house. I'm going to tell you right now. And if you don't like it, you... Right? We judge others for observing days to the Lord. Any observance of false gods or false worship is something that we just can't do. And we cannot require others to observe those days either. Right? I'll tell you something, when I was growing up, and boy, I hated all these wives' tales. Baby laying there and got the hiccups all over the place. You know what they used to say? Break a piece of broom straw and put it... Y'all remember that? What in the Sam Hill that's got to do with hiccups? But it was back then. People don't do that anymore. You give them a few drops of that liquid, hiccups are done. So what is permitted? Romans 14, 5 and 6 says this. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced, again, in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, for he who gives thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God thanks. Paul permits a Christian to esteem one day above another and observe it to the Lord. And these may have been days that were once observed by pagans to false gods with false worship. There have been days that were required by the Jews by the law of Moses. And some of those same days were being observed to the Lord by Christians. And Paul says in Romans 14, that's all right. He says, that's all right. What about Christmas? It may have been observed by pagans and false gods with false worship. It may have been required by Catholic denominationalism. But now it's observed by Christians in a different way. It doesn't mean the same thing it meant back then. There's not one of us in here who celebrates Christmas or doesn't celebrate Christmas because of a idol worship. Anybody? Paul says, do not require others to observe that day. And he says that they are permitted to observe it to the Lord. We do this all the time. We do it all the time in the church. Who doesn't set aside days for gospel meetings? We do it. Seminars, lectureships, retreats, vacation Bible school, prayer meetings, Bible study, evangelism, visitation all to the Lord. Who doesn't set aside days for that? From time to time, some will set aside a day to fast to the Lord and spend time in prayer. We do that. But we don't bind on nobody else, right? And those who don't, they don't ridicule you for it either, for fasting to the Lord. But everybody don't fast to the Lord, and that's all right. Some do. And who's knocking you for it? Suppose we had a VBS. It was about Noah's Ark. And we're going to set apart these days to celebrate Noah's Ark. We're going to decorate the building. There's going to be arks and animals all over the place. We're going to invite other people to come. We're going to read scriptures, and we're going to sing songs about it. And we're going to thank God for saving Noah and his family. It would be a quite a different affair if we remember and celebrate Noah's Ark as opposed to remembering and celebrating Jesus' birth. Two different things, isn't it? So we celebrate Noah and his Ark. Some people are going to get upset because somebody wants to decorate. Some people get upset because you want to send a Christmas card. Some people get upset because you read scriptures about what they call Christmas, but it's really not about Christmas. It's about the birth of Christ, and you ought to be able to celebrate that anytime you want, not just at Christmas. Some people sing songs and some people thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Not just on that day, but on any other day, you thank God for Christ. That's what you do. On the other hand, some people get upset when some people don't observe Christmas or esteem it every day alike. You know what Paul says in Romans 14? He says, both are permitted. Both are permitted. Let's stop tearing at each other for things that don't matter, that doesn't concern our salvation. Let's stop biting one another for things that don't concern our salvation. We got too many things to worry about out there, especially beginning with ourselves and how we sin and fall short of the glory of God every day of our lives. And Christmas and no other holiday doesn't come into play with that at all. Not one. And everything that we do when reading the scriptures, you got to have some common sense. Stop listening to all that traditional stuff or all that culture stuff, or all those lies that the old folks used to tell us. Yep, y'all used to lie to us plenty. I'm not backing down from that. You did. You did. Thank God for the truth of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
What is expedient? 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, I have the right to do anything, you see, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. All things are lawful. That is, let me read it to you from the Amplified Version. Let me bring it to life, the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful. That is, morally legitimate, permissible, but not all things are beneficial or advantageous. All things are lawful, but not all things are constructive to character and to edifying of the spiritual life. We're not just interested in what is condemned and what is permitted, but we also want to know what is helpful and what is edifying. Let me tell you something. If I'm having a bad day and somebody gives me a card and say, joy to the world, limit heaven, you know what that's going to do for me? I ain't thinking about no idol God. I ain't about that. I'm thinking about your kindness and your consideration and your love for me in my time of need. Because when we hurt, everybody, right? You can send me a card. I'm going to open it. Say that right now. And we'll be thankful for it. Oh, indeed. And when it comes to coming down the chimney, I got one at the house. Come on down. We are interested in what is helpful and edifying, not all that other stuff, that all that rabble. Paul wrote in Romans 14, 13, 19 through 20, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, and rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one may edify one another. Look what it says, do not destroy the work of God. So we don't judge, we don't bind, we don't divide over the observance of days, but we respect one another's faith and respect one another's conscience. That's where it's at. When a man violates his conscience, you don't have anything else. So don't do it. So know what you believe and why you believe. Know what you do and why you do it. You gotta know. Romans 14, 16, 18, therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking or observing days like Christmas, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. That's the birth of Christ. That's a wonderful thing that we read, isn't it? We ought to give God the glory and thanks for that, because it was in God's plan that Christ be born of a woman. Amen for that. Many of us grew up with these cartoons, right? Anybody ever watch Charlie Brown Christmas? Oh, man, that's a hallmark right there, right? We watched a Charlie Brown Christmas every year. It was a family tradition for us, and for many people, it brings back good memories even right now. It's even better memories for me because when I looked at it, it was in black and white. Listen, there's a scene when Charlie Brown is trying to direct a Christmas play. So he went and got that sad-looking Christmas tree so that he can get people focused on Christmas, right? And everybody laughed at him. And you know what he says? He says, does anyone know what Christmas is all about? Here comes Linus. And he quotes Luke chapter 2. And when he gets done quoting Luke chapter 2, he turns to Charlie Brown. And you know what he says? This is what Christmas is all about. Celebrate it how you want. But it isn't necessarily about Christmas. It's about the birth of Christ, Linus was saying. And we ought to be able to celebrate that anytime we want to in the year. It's not about the tree, the presents, the cookies, the food. Not about the gathering or the music or anything else. For Linus, it was simply about Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. That he came into this world as a baby and God celebrated that birth. God celebrated it on that day with an announcement from heaven to people who needed to hear it. The day we call Christmas, let me just say this to you, is not any more holy than any other day. It's just not. It's not. What makes it special to many of us is that it reminds us of the truth that Jesus came from heaven to earth to walk among us, show us the Father, and save our souls. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the bruising of his heel, is the bruising of the head of the serpent as he struggled on that cross. The pain of the cross was exceedingly great for Christ. But we celebrate the death of Christ on the cross, but we refuse to celebrate the birth of Christ because somebody says Christmas? You got to do what you like. Don't violate your conscience. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let me tell you what matters, though. Today and every day, what matters is the kingdom of God. That's what matters. So what are you going to do about this thing called Christmas? What are you going to do? What about Christmas? A better question is this, a question that will not only help us with the first question, but also with our life even right now and in eternity. The question is, what will you do with Christ? What are you going to do with him, right? Some folks don't want to do anything with him because they want to keep him as that little baby, but you know what? You got to deal with him as a grown man now. Grown man. That same grown man who was on that cross and built us a bridge to heaven with two boards and three nails. You got to deal with that man right now because he's no longer a baby. You know, too many people, think about it now. You can never grow up to your parents, right? They always try to keep you as a baby. They still call you by your nickname. Hey, little Eddie. I'm not little Eddie. I'm not. Oh, you got to stop calling me Junior. I'm a grown, right? Nobody wants Christ to grow up. Those same people who celebrated the birth of Christ are the same people who crucified him when he was a grown man. And those of us who celebrate the birth of Christ are the same ones who don't want to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. We don't want the gospel. We don't want that. We need Christ in our lives. Whether we celebrate his birth, his death, burial, and resurrection, we need Christ in our lives. And if we don't receive Christ in our lives, what else matters? What else is going to matter? I thank God for Jesus at any age. Any age. Like I said, he was 12 years old, and the people were marveled at what he was teaching. Well, he was cute then. Or when he got to be a grown man and was telling the same things, O ye brood of vipers, it was time to die. There's a time for all of us to die as well. Just don't die outside of Christ. We need to know who Christ is and what he was all about. And just because the holiday comes about and we want to gripe about it or complain about it because it's not a religious holiday, we know that already. We know that. We don't need nobody to tell us that. But you got to be able to separate things, right? That's the problem we have all the time. We can't separate our spiritual lives from the lives we live out there in the world. We bring that stuff right in the church. Yeah, we do. What are you going to do with Christ? That's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. God celebrated his birth, and he still celebrates his death, burial, and resurrection. He calls us to do the exact same thing, to celebrate the Christ. Last thing I want to say to you is, if there are those of you today who don't believe in Christ, you have to hear God's word. You have to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. You got to repent of your sins. For far too long, we've been not apologizing to God for the things that we've done in this body. Got to repent of our sins and confess Christ. Confess him with our mouths. Let our hearts be looked at it by Christ and be converted and transformed. And we've got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, because it is in baptism that you put on Christ for the remission of your sins. No other way can you get it. You can't walk down the street and the light hits you in the head and you say, oh, I got Jesus Christ. You can't sit where you're at and raise your hand up and somebody say, oh, yeah, he's going to come into your life. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. The same way the Bible teaches about the birth of Christ, it teaches about the salvation that comes to us through the death of Christ. And that's what we need. We need Jesus more than anything else. So what are you going to do with him? If we can help you to understand that, I want to say Merry Christmas to you. And if you want to come to Christ at this moment in time, we stand prepared to accept you. Why don't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.
Where do you want to come and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you come?
Stained with sin, sinking to rise no more.
We're all waiting for you. Will you come and accept the gospel? Will you be saved, baptized into the body of Christ, the church he purchased with his own blood? Will you come?
From the waters lifted me.
Response cards. Chooks Agasabia, by the way. Got a response card. Health related. Please pray for Sister Hicks. She is not feeling well today. Response card for Sister Annie McQuarter. Health related. Morning, church family. I'm asking for prayers on my health. I had an eye pain last night and this morning. Also trying to keep my pressures down. Pray for me. Response card from Harry and Chanel Cook, Traveling Grace. Response card for June and Alex, health related. Please pray for Vanessa Mitchell, our friend and neighbor. Response card, I am asking prayers for the new covenant, covet, and those who will be getting married. Response card for Stacy Bastion. Good morning, family. Asking for prayer for the Garnett family. Thank you. Response card for Barbara Bell, general prayer request. I am having two big tests on Tuesday. Keep me in your prayers. And then a response card from the Smallwoods, Traveling Grace. All right, could we bow head? Oh, 1 second, one other card. I forgot. Have a card from Sister Smith. It reads, a kind word, a thoughtful deed, a caring heart, simple reflections of the kingdom of God. You're a wonderful, wonderful reflection of God's heart. Thank you so much. Lots and love to each one of you from Sister Smith. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, open hearts. Thank you for providing us safe travels here. For those individuals who wanted to be here but not able to, thank you for the opportunity to be able to watch this sermon online. Father God, we come to you, heavy hearts, just asking you for traveling grace for those individuals who will be traveling not only today but during this holiday season, Father God. May they be covered by your grace, Father God, to and from their destinations and being able to come back. Father God, I ask you for prayers for the Garnett family, for the Vanessa Mitchell, for Sister Hicks, with their health-related issues. Father God, may you continue just to strengthen them and cover them. Continue to pray for bereavement for the Smith family, and prayers for everyone else who may not had an opportunity to write a prayer request card. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Let us prepare for the Lord's Supper. Glory to his name is his selection. Down at the cross where my Savior died, and down where from cleansing from sin I cry, and there to my heart was the blood applied. And we're singing a glory to his name. We're singing glory to his and God's precious. And we're singing a glory to my Jesus and God's wonderful name. And oh, there to my was your blood. And we're singing a glory to his name.
All right, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. Time just to remnants for ultimate sacrifice, death and burial of Christ. I'll be reading from Luke 22, verses 19 through 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup, the covenant of my blood, which will be poured out for you." All right. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, come to you today. Open hearts as we proceed to take Lord's Supper, Father God. Thank you for showing us through Jesus Christ, his holy body, broken and blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sins, God. As we take this bread, help us just to remember the depth of your sacrifice, victory, and resurrection. Let this be a nourishment of our bodies, minds, and souls, and let it go forth through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Portions, collections were offered beginning of the service, also at the end in this collection box to my left. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you decide in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for your many blessings. Father God, please accept these offerings. Thank for those who were able to give. Uplift those individuals who wanted to give but did not have the means. Please let these funds be used for the building of your church, missions, and just being able to your ultimate task for us to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Service here at the Franklin Street Church of Christ. God has given us a beautiful day to come out and worship him and praise him and give him all the thanks and glory that he so deserves. Again, there have been some people that have been ill and some people that have been grieving, hurting and healing in our congregation. So let's continue to remember those in our prayers as well.